Welcome to this audio presentation from St. Charles River Church. Today we have a message that we believe is full of practical and relevant behavioral teaching from God's Word, the Bible. We'd like to invite you to grab a piece of paper and a pen. Take notes as you go through this, looking for a personal application from God to you. Sit back and enjoy as we begin this message.
Hallelujah. Our God is great. Our God is mighty. You know, our God is the answer. He's the answer.
Yes.
The world is looking for an answer. And guess what? We've got it. We've got the answer. Our God is the mightiest. Our God is the highest. There is none above Him. There is none greater than Him. He is the Almighty, all-powerful. Woo! Almighty, all-powerful. He's our healer. He's our deliverer. He's our peace. He's our way maker. He's our banner that we raise up as we go out into the world. He's our standard. We come in line with Him and His standard. Thank you, Jesus, for who you are. We just stop and say, thank you. For who you are to us. You're everything we need when we need it. You are the answer. You are the Almighty God. You are greater than everything in heaven and earth. Your name is above everything that can ever be named on this side of eternity. Your name is it. It is the top. It is the best. We declare you Lord of this house. Lord of our lives, you are our God. You are the great I am that I am. Thank you, Lord Jesus. When my wife and I were fasting and praying at the beginning of the year, like we always do, the Lord gives me a word for the church every year. And I haven't been able to share it with you until now. But it's a good word. And whenever God speaks, it is a good word. Even though the words may be few, they're good. And He said 2019 is going to be the year where the remnant has a voice. That's it. 2019 is the year the remnant will have a voice. So as we've been sitting in the church comfortable, you know, the world has been sliding closer to the devil. And we all know that. But now it's time. This is the year. You know, and it's already started. That was the second week of January when He told me that. And last month, or this month actually, very early on, the United Methodist Church voted to stand by their traditional values, which is marriage as a man and a woman. And it's splitting the church in half. But praise God, there's finally a victory where somebody stood up and said, this is what the Bible says, this is what we're going to do, and nothing else. We're putting our foot down. Woo! It was so exciting. I called my friends that are elders at Sunrise, and I tell me what happened, you know? He goes, it was great. He goes, it was great. I said, it just encouraged us that the Lord is still out here with us. And He is here. This is our year. And the world's going to try to move the line on everything this year. Look what they're doing on abortion now, too. You know what? We're going to double down on this. But you know what? The church, the remnant, is going to say, no, we are not going to have it. This is your year, church. We've been comfortable out here. Now it's time to get uncomfortable. And it's time for us to pick up our cross and carry it. That's what Jesus wants us to do today. That is the word for you, the church that's here today. It's time to pick up the cross. That means you're not going to be comfortable all the time when you have to walk up to somebody and say, hey, can I pray for you?
Yes.
This is what you need to do this week. You're all on assignment. I'm officially ordaining all of you to be missionaries. As of right this moment, this is what we have to do, people. This is our time to strike. This is it. You see what's going on. There's momentum building in the kingdom of God right now. You watch as this year goes on. You're going to see more victories. You're going to see more people stand up and say, Jesus is the only way, the only answer, the way, the truth, and the life. No man comes to the Father but through me. I'm convinced if even Jesus gave us 10 ways to get to the Father, we would want number 11. That's just who we are. We got to do it our way. But there is no our way. There is His way. The way His kingdom has been put in order. It's the King and His way of doing things. That's what kingdom is. It's His order, His structure, His way. And we have to say, Lord, I choose to do it Your way as of right now. So there's going to be people that you meet this week, that you run into. There's going to be people at the stoplights. There's going to be people in the stores. There's going to be your coworkers at work that you know need Jesus. They don't have to tell you, hey, I need Jesus. You know they need Him. All you do is look at them. You hear what they say. You watch what they do. You know they need Him. But the Lord has instructed us to be wise and shrewd. And the Holy Spirit that guides and leads us in all truth will show you the right time to say something. The right time to do something. All you have to do is say, Lord, what should I do? And then shut up and listen. And then He will say what you're supposed to do and when you're supposed to do it. You will hear Him speak to you. No one else has to tell you. Let the Lord lead you. And when you say something, that's the time when the Spirit knows that person's ready to hear whatever you have to say to them. We need to be doing the work. The remnant, are you ready to get uncomfortable for a little bit? Are you ready to leave the cushy seats and get out here and tell somebody about Him? I hope you are. If you are, just raise one of your hands, whether you're sitting or standing, doesn't matter. Just one. I'm conserving your energy for later. One arm. Lord Jesus, you see the hands that are up. I declare right now by the Spirit of the living God, you've commissioned us to be your disciples, to go into all the nations, starting with our own, to baptize them in the name of the Father, Son, and the Holy Spirit, and to teach them to obey all of the commands that I've taught you. And I thank you that we don't have to worry, because your word says next that don't worry, I am always with you even until the end of the age. Even though we may be physically alone, we are never truly alone, that the Holy Spirit will guide and lead us into everything we should say and do. Lord, help us to win that person this week. Help us to pray for that person that needs healing this week. Help us to say these prayers out loud with them in public, wherever they are. It doesn't matter. Thank you, Lord Jesus, that we will be those people that will change our community, that will make a difference, that will bring people to you, point them to you and say, this is the only answer. This is the only thing you need to know. Jesus loves you. He's here. He's ready to accept you into His kingdom if you will accept Him. Thank you, Jesus. Guide and lead us this week, Lord. Thank you, Lord. We rejoice in advance for the victories that are coming this week. In Jesus' name, amen. Amen.
Hello, my name is Pastor Barry, and welcome to St. Charles River Church. I wish I could be there with you today, but I am so sorry. I had to travel and go win some disciples in a foreign land. Thank you, Jesus. Be praying for me as I go minister to people, and I'll be praying for you while you're here in the church hearing a great message by Pastor Pam. She will do an awesome job today. We anoint her in Jesus' name to deliver the word of God in spirit and in truth. We release the anointing into the house today. I wish I really could be there with you today to greet you myself personally. But instead, I have Carl talking on a microphone for me. And I'm sure he will do just fine. So make yourself at home. If you need anything, the ushers wearing the blue shirts will be able to help you. Come on, how long is this thing? Okay, there he goes. He's stopping. Good. So that was the message from Pastor Barry to you. Oh, gosh.
Well, I'm glad we're having fun. Amen. I just told them in the back, just turn the lights off. We don't need electricity anyway, do we? All right, well, get ready. Well, I'm glad you're warmed up. We're fired up in the spirit. We've been sent on assignment for the week, and now you are going to hear the word of God brought to you today by Pastor Pam. Come on up and drop it down.
It's God. Woo, amen. Nothing like just being able to roll with the punches, right? Just like a missions trip when we go. What's the three words that Pastor Barry always tells us? Flexibility, flexibility, flexibility. And that's where we're at today. If you'll bring the house lights up just a little bit. I love seeing everybody's faces. Well, I'm going to jump into the message today. And today I was talking about, it's going to be talking about running your own race. And I wanted to start off by just sharing a little story that something that I had dealt with when I was younger. And it just went along with what I wanted to speak about today. Some of you have heard this before, but when I was younger, I struggled with a speech impediment. And I mean, I struggled, I stuttered, I was tongue-tied, how many of you know if you're like nervous or, you know, anxious at all, it just becomes even worse. One of the things I really struggled with was being able to pronounce my R's. So people would ask me, they were like, what's your mom's name? And I would say, oh, my mom's name? It's Bob. And they would say, your mom's name's Bob? And I would say, no, it's Bob, B-A-R-B. And they were like, oh, your mom's name's Barb. And I was like, yeah. See, when you have a speech impediment, you don't always, are you guys here in the ringing here too? But when you have a speech impediment, you don't always hear the words or the sounds that you're not being able to pronounce. And so I got the opportunity to do 7 years, kindergarten through sixth grade, that I did speech therapy. The only reason they kicked me out of speech therapy at that point wasn't because I knew how to talk right. My family still, I think, agrees with that. But the reason they kicked me out at that point was just so I could stay in my regular classes. But so lots and lots of therapy through that. And then also, how many know that if you have any type of struggle like that, that kids tend to tease you of that. So also dealt with some teasing from that. And God forbid if a teacher would have asked me to read something in front of a class. Oh, my gosh. All that tongue-tiedness and stutteredness just becomes so magnified. So as I, growing up in the church, when I started hearing of Moses' story, I so sympathized with him. And it starts actually in Exodus 3, but where Moses saw the burning bush and he saw it was on fire, but yet it wasn't being consumed. And it was where God was speaking to him. And so Moses went over, and I will pick it up in verse 4, where the conversation that God and Moses was having. But Exodus 4, starting with verse 10, it says, but Moses pleaded with the Lord, O Lord, I am not very good with words. In the King James, it says, I'm not eloquent. I never have been, and I am not now. Even though you have spoken to me, I get tongue-tied. My words get tangled. In the Message Bible, it says, I stutter. The Lord asked Moses, who makes a person's mouth? Who decides whether people speak or do not speak? Hear or do not hear? See or do not see? Is it not I, the Lord? Now go. I will be with you as you speak, and I will instruct you on what to say. So sometimes when those areas that we feel so inadequate, or we feel like you hear somebody else, another speaker, and you're thinking, well, God, why are you using me? They're better than I am, you know. Or sometimes we can go the opposite direction and think, well, you know, gosh, you know, with their gifts, just in that comparison. But God has reminded me so many times that it is in my desperation for knowing that I can't do these things on my own, and knowing that I am desperate for Him and that I have to have Him show up. I think Janice has shared this, Pastor Barry, it's our availability that gives God opportunity to do something through us. So I want to jump in and share just a little bit here out of 1 Corinthians. 1 Corinthians chapter 12, and I'm going to start on verse 12, and then I'm going to skip over to 17. But starting in verse 12, it says, just as the body, though one, has many parts, but all its many parts from one body, so it is with Christ. And then jumping over to 17. If the whole body were an eye, where would the sense of hearing be? If the whole body were an ear, where would the sense of smell be? But in fact, God has placed the parts in the body, every one of them, just as he wanted them to be. If they were one part, where would the body be? As it is, there are many parts, but one body. The eye cannot say to the hand, I do not need you. And the head cannot say to the feet, I do not need you. On the contrary, those parts of the body that seem to be weaker are indispensable, and the parts that we think are less honorable, we treat with special honor. The parts that are unpresentable are treated with special modesty, while our presentable parts need no special treatment, but God has put the body together, giving greater honor to the parts that lack it, so that there should be no division in the body, but that its parts should have equal concern for each other. If one part suffers, every part suffers with it. And if one part is honored, every part rejoices with it. So just reminding us that we're all part of the body of Christ. So we make up the body of Christ here. We all have our strengths and our weaknesses and our gifts that we bring. But also, it reminded me also, even within our marriages, that within any family setting, we bring in those strengths and those weaknesses. Some of you, if you know Rick and I very well, Rick's gift is Rick has a very good sense of direction. He can go someplace where, you know, we've maybe been one time or maybe we've never been, and he will immediately, he knows his north and south and east and west. Those things do not mean anything to me. It does not help me for someone to tell me to go north or to go south. But someone could tell that to Rick, and Rick will worm his way around and find it. We back several years ago when we had been in a small group, we were just new into a small group, and we were going to give everyone directions on how to get to our house. So I started out, and I was like, well, if you're coming from 70 and you're going towards 40, then, you know, just when you see McDonald's Dairy Queen on the right, then, you know, you turn on Royal Springs right past. And I didn't get much further than that. And I said, well, if you go too far, you're going to see McDonald's. And Rick stopped, and he's like, no, stop. No, what you do is you go southbound on Highway K, and then, you know, we're about a quarter mile north of Highway N, and I could see some people were getting my direction, some was getting his, so I said, okay, just stop. And I immediately, what I did was I went back and I said, I'll send out an email to everyone for directions. So as I went and sent out an email, I thought, oh, I'll have fun with this. So I put Rick's directions, and I had to look up what was, I knew K ran north and south, but I wasn't sure which direction to turn in. So I had to look it up, but I figured it out. So I gave them all northeast, southwest on how to get to our house. And then I did Pam's direction. It was all about landmarks. And if you see this, and you see Taco Bell on this side over here, and we still just getting a lot of ringing here, guys. So we had fun with it. But aren't we so thankful? Sometimes what we tend to do is we tend to, sometimes we value our gifts more than what somebody else's gifts or their strengths. But aren't we so thankful that we have that within a marriage? Thank goodness that our strengths aren't all in the same area, or yet our weaknesses all in the same areas. Thank goodness we can balance each other out with that. As I was studying this week, one of the things that we have seen, especially with social media these days, is we are living in the world or the land of ER. We're living in the land of Ur. And when I talk about that, it's talking about how we are comparing each other to each other. Who's smarter? Who's prettier? Whose kids are better? Who's got the better job? And we're constantly comparing. And now with social media, you know, they've talked about that so much in the news about the fact that they are seeing more and more that people are just dealing with depression because of the things they see in social media. Because today now we can compare who has the better vacation, who has... Do I need to switch mic, guys? Switch. Okay. Sorry about that, guys. How's this? We got it going? Okay. So
So with social media nowadays, we're able to compare not only like with people that's been on vacation or, it's like, and sometimes don't we sit around even in conversation, we start looking going, you know, whether it's in a group or with, you know, maybe just even with our spouse or something, you're like, all of a sudden you're looking on there and you're like, oh, so-and-so just went to Italy. Didn't they already take a vacation this year? You know, and what are we doing wrong? Why don't we have that? And see, what we end up doing is when we start comparing, and I heard a speaker back this last fall, and he talked about the cancer of comparison and what it's doing to us today, that we're constantly comparing ourselves to others. And this is just a simple illustration of it, but I hope you bear with me here on this to understand. So a lot of you know that our oldest son was born blind. So, there was some advantages to that when things, and I'll give you an example, is one time when our little guys were like 2 and 4. Stephen was 4 and Sean was around 2 years old. I had just went in and realized we had 2 chocolate chip cookies left. I was like, huh. So I didn't tell Stephen. I just told Sean. And I was like, come here. Didn't say anything. I just had to motion for him to come here. So we go in the other room in the kitchen. We had a little house, so we weren't far away from Stephen. We went in there, and I didn't say anything. We just smiled. I handed him one cookie, and I ate the other cookie. Well, then Stephen heard that we'd gotten into something. He didn't know what it was, but he knew we had gotten into something. And I immediately looked in the pantry to see what would have sounded like. Remember the old Chip Ahoy, the packages? And I looked and I saw graham crackers. And I thought, oh, that will sound a lot like what we just got into. So Stephen had yelled in and said, what are you guys eating? And I immediately looked in the pantry and I said, we're eating graham crackers. Do you want one? And Stephen was like, yes. And he was so happy. He ran in there. And then poor little Sean, who's like 2 at the time, is holding his chocolate chip cookie half eaten, going, graham cracker? I was like, I know. I was, but do you see on that? If Stephen had known, if he'd been able to see that we'd had the chocolate chip cookie and then he had the graham cracker, we would have had World War II on our hands. But in that situation, being able to, Stephen was absolutely happy as a lark to be eating his graham cracker. And Sean and I was very happy to be eating our chocolate chip cookies. And it's just that sense of sometimes we allow, when we start looking at what others are doing, we start allowing it to steal our joy because we're comparing instead of just being where we would be happy and content where we were. Sometimes us comparing to others, we start losing that joy. I wanted to read a scripture here out of Hebrews, and it's Hebrews chapter 12. It's talking about running our race here, and it says, let us throw off everything that hinders, the sin that so easily entangles, and let us run with perseverance the race marked out for us, fixing our eyes on Jesus, pioneer and perfecter of faith. There's an image that I had given the team here. That is about, are you guys, this is the Sandlot Marathon. I had, in preparing this week, knowing I was going to be talking about running your own race, I had actually, this just took place like within the last week or two. I don't know if any of you saw it on the news, but it really caught my attention. So basically what they do is, this is in Minnesota, just like I said, happened within the last couple of weeks. They clear off, they move the snow, and they're basically running around a ball diamond. The baseball, like a baseball field, and they clear off 2 or 3 of these fields, and the runners run around. They actually keep track. I watched a video, and what they do is they keep track. They have something on their wrist, and they just swing by and to keep up with how many laps that each one of them are at. You know, as I was looking, the image that's on your bulletin, as I was looking for, and just leave that up there for me for just a minute, but the image I was looking for on the bulletin, when I had put in running your own race, sometimes I'll just type in what the title is and see what images pop up. Well, every one of them that I saw, it kept showing runners running by themselves, just out running on a track or the road or wherever. But each one of them that I kept seeing kept showing runners running on their own. And I thought, well, I really like the idea is because we're made to do community, right? So I loved this. And one of the things, the co-director of it, they were interviewing him. One of the things he pointed out was that the person that's in first place and the person that's in last place in this race are never more than 180 feet apart. spaces are 90 feet apart on the baseball field. So they're never more than 180 feet apart. And he said, what other race is there that you spend that much time with the leader as you're running your race? And I love that because each one of their individuals, they're swiping. You know, one might be on, you know, their 80th lap and the other one might be on their 100th lap. But they're each one on an individual race, but they're still doing it together and they're running alongside each other. And I so appreciate that because as we're running our races individually, as we're running the races that God has marked out for us individually, it's so awesome. You're still alongside somebody else, cheering them on. Come on, keep going. And it doesn't matter if you're the one that's on that, you know, lap 300 or lap 350. It doesn't matter who you're beside of. You can be cheering each other on and encouraging each other. One of the other benefits for running your own race is the fact that we all have different backgrounds. You know, we raised two kids with special needs. So there's been a lot of times where we've been able to make those connections with other people that have kids that have special needs as well. But each one of us brings something different to our own races. And I wanted to share a little bit of a story of a friend of ours that attended a church with us. And his name is George. And we had met George. George didn't remember me, but I remembered him as when I was a teenager, and he was probably in his 20s, was my first that I knew who George was. But fast forward, after I had known him during that period of time, George was, as Janice Bean and I have this little inside joke that we tease, that some people have a rowdy bad past. And, you know, that could look like a lot of different things, but some people just have a rowdy bad past. And George had a rowdy bad past. And so when all of a sudden him and his wife, now he ended up marrying a lady named Barb, and she had had two kids from a previous marriage, and at this point when they walked into our church for the first time, they had had one little guy together, and their little guy together that they had had was the same age as our oldest son, Stephen. So they walked into church, and I remember I was like, it was one of those words, one of those people you never expected to see in church, and I was so excited we seen him. I was like hitting Rick. I'm like, do you see who that is? Do you see who just came in the church? And so as we got to know this family, and when they started attending church with us, knew that they just had, a great walk with God at this point, and their little guy, since same age as our oldest son, they were nursing together, and you know, they were toddlers together. We built a quick friendship with them. I believe his wife had actually was just a year older than Rick in school, so they end up knowing each other, at least knowing of each other, and so we made this great connection with them. Now, fast forward, we've been at church together, doing life together for 2 or 3 years, and all of a sudden, we ended up out to dinner with Barb and George. And all of a sudden, we were just talking, I don't even know how it came up initially, and all of a sudden George started saying, he was like, oh, if you guys only knew how bad I used to be. And I just laughed, and we were eating, I was like, no, I know. We just kept going. And then he was like, he talked a little bit more, and then he gave us a little bit more, and he was like, no, seriously, if this church only knew how, I mean, the things I used to do. And I just laughed again and kept eating. I'm like, no, I know. And like the third time that I said, you know, he kept talking and then I kept saying, no, I know. And his wife, he wasn't catching it, but how many, I'm sorry guys, but sometimes you need your wives to kind of hit you and wake you up there. His wife said, George, you're not hearing what she's saying. And he kind of looked dumbfounded. He's like, what? And he said, she's saying she knows. And he's kind of looked at me. He said, what do you know? And I said, Well, when I was in high school, I worked at a fast food restaurant, Noggles. Does anybody remember that from O'Fallon or St. Charles area? Noggles was American/Mexican food restaurant. And I said, well, I worked there. And his face is starting to get a little straighter. And then I mention a lady's name there. Now he's starting to lose a little color in his face. And I said, I worked with her. And I used to go to her house. She had a couple of kids from a previous relationship. And I said, I used to go to her house and babysit when you guys would go out. His wife's laughing. He has lost now all sense of humor about this. And now suddenly he is looking down and won't even look at me. And what I seen was just this overwhelming shame and guilt that he was feeling. And then I was like, oh my gosh, that was, I mean, not at all what I wanted him to be feeling at this, because And I told him, and I was always so thankful I had that at that moment to have that time to talk to George. And I said, no, please look at me. Hear me. I was like, when I saw you, we were a little surprised the first Sunday we saw you. I said, when we saw what God had done in your life, and we saw what God is continuing to do in your life, what we knew immediately was that God could use you to reach people that we would never be able to connect with, that God could use you in ways that he would never be able to use us. So I said, we were so excited. I said, all we saw was so much potential and so excited what God was going to be able to do through you. And I'll give you one example. This was sometime after that, but I was doing an open house one Sunday, and after the open house, I was going around and picking some signs up, and all of a sudden, this older car pulled up, and I seen this guy come out. Now, you have to remember, this is like early to mid-90s, and so this guy came out, and he had, you know, tattoos all over, his neck was tattooed, and, long hair, but I didn't feel uncomfortable at all when he came over to me and he was kind of guarded because I think he was, he said, hey, I don't want to startle you or anything. He said, when we were outside, like I said, I was just picking my signs up, and he said, but I saw your car and I saw there was a Christian fish on it. And are you a Christian? And I said, well, yes, I am. And he said, well, we're new to the area, and we're just looking for a church to go to this next Sunday. And I was like, oh, that's so cool. And as we were talking, I noticed he had like a couple of teardrops tattooed on his eye as well. And so we talked for a little bit, and I gave him directions to our church. Our church happened to be literally within a mile or two of this open house I had done that day. So I told him where our church was. And I was so excited, because as soon as I got done that Sunday, I literally, I think, went home and called George. And I was like, hey, George, I just met this man, and I think you guys would get along great. And I said, and I have a couple of questions. I said, he had a couple of teardrops tattooed underneath his eye. Does that mean anything? He's like, oh, yeah, was it? So he asked me a little bit more information. I said, yes, yes. And he goes, oh, that means he's killed two people. That's awesome. I'm going to introduce him to you. If he shows up Sunday, he goes, George was so excited. He's like, that is my man. See, George had dealt with, and there's some of you in here today, I know you've had some struggles too. Maybe you're listening by podcast here today, and you've had those struggles in the past. Maybe you've struggled with addiction. Maybe you've struggled with alcohol or drug addiction, or possibly with pornography or gambling or whatever it's been. God can still use you. God's just waiting. You've been off-roading for a while. You've been off track. Maybe you're still dealing with some of that today. God's still just saying, I'm just waiting for you to get back on track because I have big plans for you. See, he has a race. That race has been marked out from us for day one. And God's just waiting for us to get back on track so that he can use us and that we can touch people and you can reach people that maybe nobody else in this room would be able to reach or connect with or be able to relate with in the way that you could. As I was studying this, I started looking for other examples in the Bible. And the thing is, the Bible's so full of so many examples from over 2,000 years ago of so many men and women that were imperfect and they struggled. David, who was after God's own heart, he had his bad moments. He had some bad things that he struggled with. But yet God continued to use him throughout his life. And so it's just a constant reminder to us, whatever our race is, in spite of whatever our imperfections, in spite of whatever we're dealing with, God's going, I'm just waiting for you. It's okay. As soon as you get back in the race that I have laid out for you, there's going to be those opportunities for you to be able to reach others and to encourage them and do community with them. As I was preparing this and last night, George went on. He went on to do prison ministry. He said he would tease. He was like, we were like, oh, that's awesome that you're doing the prison ministry. And he goes, are you kidding? I know a lot of the guys. He said, it's been great. He said, and he realized, he said he would tell us over and over. He goes, I get it. He said, if it wasn't for the grace and the mercy that God shows us you know, shows me and shows each one of us every day, if it wasn't for God's, he knew how big God's grace and mercy was. And he knew if it wasn't for God's grace and his mercy, that he'd be in prison with a lot of those guys that he knew in there. So George was the perfect guy to be able to go into there and speak into these men, which he would. It was last night as I was preparing. See, George ended up in his early 50s. He ended up getting diagnosed with a brain tumor. When they got the diagnosis, what they told him was, is if you don't fight it, if you just go, you've got about a month to live. And if you do fight it, meaning to go through surgery, go through all the chemo and everything that we can do, the best you can hope for is about 12 to 14 months. So George fought it. He said nope. He had a lovely wife. He had a great family. They ended up having, they'd had the four kids all total, grandkids at this point. And he said, I'm going to fight it. And last night I jumped on Facebook. The only thing I was looking for was I was just going to look to see when George had passed away. You know, time flies. I was thinking it had been at least 3 or 4 years. And then I looked it up on Facebook and realized it had been March of 2013 is when he actually passed away. But what I found when I jumped online was one of George's last posts that he ever put on Facebook. And I'd like to share that with you this morning. It says, well, I guess when you have a brain tumor, things change in your mind so slowly you don't even notice, but others around you do. I just want everyone to know that God's word is infallible. It's perfect, and even I can't screw that up. Ha! My scripture for the day is 2 Timothy 4, verse 7. I have fought the good fight, and I have finished the race. I have kept the faith. I hope and pray that I really have ministered to some of you through the last few months here. And it hasn't just been a confused, dying man thinking he's helping someone. May God bless you all, and think this will be my last post from this side of heaven. I don't know what to do or to say. I don't want to do or say anything that would confuse anyone. He was starting to slip at this point. May God bless you and keep you safe in his loving arms. And now one last prayer for you all from me. Our most gracious Heavenly Father, I ask you to bless my friends and keep them safe. Protect them from sickness and disease. Protect them from what I'm going through, and protect their families and children. Help them to never have to suffer through the things that my family is going through and has to deal with these last few months. God, let your love shine on them and embrace them. Father, bless them greatly with your love and your favor at all they set their hands to do. Fill them with your spirit to lift each other up. In Jesus' name, I ask all these things. God bless you all. See you on the other side. Love, George. See, George, in those last 12 to 14 months that he had, he found a new boldness. He had always been, you know, a man after God's heart. He had always been willing to share God's word. He had reached out to many people. I was reading back through those posts last night on his Facebook, and people were on there saying, I remember when George invited me to church. And in those last 12 to 14 months, he was calling people. He was on Facebook all the time saying, come to church with me. Come sit with me. I'm saving you a seat. I'm sitting on the front row. I'm saving you a seat. Come with me. Come join me. And as Pastor Carl was just saying that earlier, is we don't know how much time we have. George knew the window of time they told him was 12 to 14 months, and he was blessed with every day of that. We almost lost him 2 or 3 times staring that journal up till that point. But his boldness, and he would encourage people. Those Facebook posts he would put out regularly, giving people updates on where he was at in his health, but he would also just encourage people again, just with that boldness. I know I've heard Pastor Barry say it many times, but, you know, when we're running our race, our goal isn't hopefully just for us to just barely slide in and make it into heaven and just be like, whew, we made it. But wouldn't it be awesome for me to see as people lined up here, whether it be Stacy or Elise or Mary or whoever it is that you're lined up there, and it's that's who all did you bring with you into heaven? Who all? Who did you invite? Whether, you know, we always tease that it's for us to invite and it's to God to clean them up. But so I just want to close with this. We just, you know, as you run your race, we run it in community. Cheer somebody else on in their race. Don't drag them into yours. Just encourage them where they're at. And let me go ahead and close here with prayer. Heavenly Father, we just thank you for today. Father, we thank you that you have marked out a race for each one of us. And Father, we thank you, Father, with all of our shortcomings and all of our imperfections and all of our struggles. Father, we so thank you, Lord, that you're coming alongside of us, Lord. Lord, that you're saying, just be obedient. Don't worry about your weaknesses. Just make yourself available so that you can do the work through us. And Father, when you ask us to go, that we go. And Father, when you ask us to speak to someone, we speak to them. Father, we just thank you for this, for your word. We thank you for the boldness that you'll give each one of us. And we know that you will equip us at the time when we need it. Father, we thank you for your word. We thank you that you'll go with us throughout this day and this week. In your precious name we pray. Amen.
We hope you found this audio presentation from St. Charles River Church both beneficial and enjoyable. If you're ever in the area, please come by and visit us at 810 Westwood Industrial Park Drive, Weldon Springs, Missouri, 63304. You can also reach us online at www.stcharlesriverchurch.org.